விஷ்ணம் ஸ்தாபித்தம் ஏன பூத்தலே சுயம் ரூபா கதாமயம் ததாதி சோபதாந்திகம். ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா, வெல்கம் பேக் டு த பக்தி சாஸ்திரி கோர்ஸ். வி ஆர் டிஸ்கஸிங் த பக்தி ரசா அமிர்த் சிந்து அண்ட் வி ஆர் நவ் டிஸ்கஸிங் ராகானுக பக்தி. ஸோ த வே விச் டாக்ட் அபவுட் த ஓஷன் இஸ் டிவைட் இன் டு பார்ட். ஸோ இன் த ஈஸ்டர்ன் ஓஷன் there's a way which talks about Vaidhi Bhakti, in fact. So in the Vaidhi Bhakti, that Vaidhi Bhakti got over in the 14th chapter, and 15th and 16th chapters talk about Raganuga Bhakti. So now Vaidhi and Raganuga both are parts of Sadhana Bhakti. So let's look at Raganuga Bhakti further. In the quick recap of the previous chapter, to continue our discussion from there, Raganuga and Ragatmika. So Ragatmika is the bhakti, we could put it Ragatmika and Raganuga as, Ragatmika is the perfection of spontaneous devotion and Raganuga is the practice of spontaneous devotion. So Ragatmika means, say the devotee like Yashoda Mai, she, for her Raga is the Atma, is filled with spontaneous attraction for Krishna. So the word Raga here refers to spontaneous attraction. And a devotee who wants to serve in the mood of Yashoda Mai, that devotee will be said to be Raganuga. Means the devotee is doing practice to develop spontaneous devotion. So there is a Ragatmika, that is the perfection of spontaneous devotion. Raganuga is the practice of spontaneous devotion. Anuga, Anuga means to follow. Now in the footsteps of. And there, while we were discussing about Raganuga Bhakti, we discussed about Ragatmika Bhakti, and based on the Bhagavatam Shloka, where how different devotees attain perfection by absorption in Krishna. So there we Gopya Kama Bhayat Kamso Vesha Chaidya Dayondrupa. So like that verse when we discussed. சம்பந்தாத் விருஷ்ணயா ஸ்னேஹாத் யூயம் பக்தியா வயம் விபோ. So there when we discussed these different categories, so different devotees, so we discussed how the devotees who are in various categories, if the mood is unfavorable, that is say bhayad or dveshyat, then that is not the nature in which anybody will be serving the spiritual world. So that is not ragatmika bhakti. And similarly, the Pandavas and the devotees like Narada, they are not always serving in the mood of spontaneous devotion. There may be an awareness of the awe and awareness of the greatness of the Lord, and there may be awe and reverence which leads to serving in the mood of duty. And therefore, the Ragatmika Bhaktas are primarily Sambandarupa, which are the Dwarkavasis. They are related with the Lord, and they are Kamarupa, they are the Prajavasis, especially the gopis. They are not directly related with the Lord, but they serve the Lord spontaneously out of their attraction. And then we discussed how that attraction is not material attraction. It is spiritual. It is, Rupa Goswami repeats the example which is also given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Both of them talk about similar concepts, that one is selfish, lust is selfish, love is selfless. So the example which is given is, lust is like copper and love is like gold. So lust and love can seem similar, because if copper is gold coated, then it can appear to be shining like gold. But then if the copper plate which is gold coated appears to be like gold, but then if it is exposed to some hot temperature or it is exposed to some rough surface, and the gold coating comes off and the inner copper gets revealed. So like that, sometimes love may seem to be selfless, or lust may seem to be selfless, but once some difficulties come up, the heat comes up, heat of challenges, difficulties, troubles comes up, then the selfish core gets revealed, gets exposed rather. And then that seems to be not love but lust. So there's a difference between love and lust. Now, after discussing this, then we also discussed how we have to be careful about this Kama Rupa, not mistake it to be material, not mistake it to be this worldly pleasure. And then after that, Now in this chapter, let's look at chapter 16 over here. Spontaneous devotion further explained. So what in the spontaneous devotion further explained? So Prabhupada writes, in the attitude of the denizens of Vrindavan, such as Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, is to be found. The ideal transcendental concept of being the father and mother of Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. So, the ideal transcendental concept of being the father and mother. So, that is ideal conception. And that they have spontaneous love. Now, what is the eligibility for spontaneous devotional service? So to understand this, Prabhupada writes first of all that we have to go beyond anartha nivritti, which means the disappearance of all material contamination. So let's try to understand this. Now we know the 9 stages of the progression of bhakti. So Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, the Nishtha, and there is Ruchi, Asakti, Bhav and Prema. So, what is the qualification for practicing Raganuga Bhakti? One has to go beyond Anartha Nivritti. One has to come to the level of Nishtha. So, one starts with Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. So, this Bhajana Kriya which you talk about, and in the Sadhu Sangha that is talked about, that is Vaidhi Bhakti. So, the impetus is by Vidhi, is by rules. Yes, this is what one must do, because these are the rules. One starts with Vaidhi Bhakti. And then after that, one moves forward. So once one anartha nivritti is done, then one comes to nishtha, and then one can start practicing raganuga bhakti. So raganuga bhakti, now we have to important, it's important to understand, it is also in the jurisdiction of sadhana. Sometimes you think that raganuga is actually, it's bhava or prema. No. Bhava bhakti is the 8th stage, prema bhakti is the 9th stage. Whereas Raganuga is something which comes within the earlier stages only. So it is a part of Vaidhi Bhakti. And it is important to understand this point, because sometimes Raganuga itself is mistaken to be the goal, but it's not the goal. It's a part of the process. So to understand Raganuga more clearly, Srila Prabhupada describes it in his summary study. We will look at the relevant Sanskrit verses which come in the Bhaktir Samvat Sindhu. And then we will look at the concept of Raganuga Bhakti better. So Prabhupada mentions over here that before we go to there, there is a stage called Anartha Nivritti, which means the disappearance of material contamination. So without giving this Anartha Nivritti, so Prabhupada says, when one is actually spontaneously attracted to the loving principles of the gopis, then there will be found no trace of any mundane contamination in his character. So, if somebody is having mundane attraction, then that person is not qualified for Raganuga Bhakti. We have discussed earlier how the male-female attraction in this world is like the reflection of the mango in a river. And the transcendental attraction between Krishna and the gopis, that is like the mango in the real mango above the river on the tree. So by jumping into the river towards the reflection, one will only break one's head if one hits a rock underwater. One will not get the mango. One has to come out of the river and climb up the tree and then reach the mango. So as long as one is in material illusion, one has a tendency for material sexual attraction, that means that one is jumping into the river. And one is going into the river, then one cannot climb up the tree and get the mango. So anartha nivritti means one understands that, okay, there is nothing in this reflection. That the anartha is what? What does the word anartha mean? Artha means meaning. Anartha means that which has no meaning. So anarthas cause us to see meaning where there is no meaning. What does anartha do? Anartha makes us see artha where there is no artha. That is anartha. So, where there is no mango, the anartha makes us see, oh, there is a mango over here, there is pleasure over here. And that's how we get infatuated. So, anartha nivritti, retirement of anartha. Nivritti, the word used for retirement. So, retirement of anarthas means what? There are two aspects to it. The that Dhanarthas get retired and we retire from the service of Dhanarthas. So first we have to retire from the service of Dhanarthas, then the Anarthas will get retired. That means we have to start saying no to the Anarthas. The lust comes and proposes, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Come on, enjoy. Says no, no. Actually, of course, we don't stay busy saying no, no, no. We focus on saying yes to Krishna. And that yes to Krishna fills our mind so much that automatically a no to Maya, no to the Anarthas comes up. And eventually when we keep saying no, 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 no again and again, and what happens? And Anarthas see that, okay, here there is no scope, this person is not going to fall to my temptation. Then Anarthas go away. It's like sometimes some salesperson comes along and say, knocks on the door, would you like to have this? He says, no. Maybe after some time again, would you like to have this? No. Would you like to have this? No. So once, twice, thrice, like that, once one says no, once and for all, then that salesperson understands, okay, I'm not going to get anything over here. I'll just be wasting my time. So like that. Or some other example could be that, suppose we had a pet dog and we loved the pet dog, and now we understood that this dog has got rabies, very dangerous, just by touching it, it may bite us and we may get the terrible disease. So we now understand, I have to give away this dog, I have to push away this dog. So for a long time we've been petting and fondling and caressing that dog, and suddenly we push the dog away. The dog says, hey, what's happening? Why are you pushing me away? So the dog comes back again, and again we push away, and the dog comes back again, and again we push away, and then somehow the dog comes there and again waits, and we think, oh, this dog is fine. Once in a while if I fondle it, doesn't matter, but if once fondle it, then what happens? The dog starts thinking, oh, my master still loves me. And then 10 times also if we say push the dog away, still they think, oh, last time the master fondled me, so master is simply playing with me, and later on he will accept me. So what has to be done is the dog has to be pushed away, and nothing doing, no fondling, just every time it comes, put it away, push it away, push it away. Then only the dog will understand, oh, this person doesn't want me, and then the dog will go away. So that is how lust also works. You know, like a dog which had been made into a pet, lust is like that. You know, we had ourselves adopted lust. When we are materialistic, we try to find newer and newer ways to stimulate and agitate the imagination with lust, and therefore get some pleasure. So we have fondled and caressed and embraced lust, and then when we understand, oh, it's Mahashino Mahapapma Vidyenami Vairanam, this is an enemy, this enemy, I have to give it up. Then we start, okay, no, no, I will not indulge in it. So lust proposes, we say no, again it is no, again we say no. And then finally what happens? After a few times of saying no, then somehow we say yes. And then, oh, this person still is ready to enjoy. There is a lot of scope to persuade this person. And again, lust starts proposing forcefully. So, anartha nivritti means a firm and persistent no. No means no. Nothing doing means nothing doing. So, when that sort of nivritti happens, we retire from the service of lust. And then, once and for all, it's a permanent retirement. It's an irreversible retirement. And then after that, lust retires from making its proposals to us, but lust will not retire before that. In fact, lust will only do that afterwards. First we have to retire from its service, then lust will become tired of its proposals, and then after it becomes tired, then it will retire. So that's how it is to move forward. So anartha nivritti, without anartha nivritti, to imagine oneself to be at the level of spontaneous devotion is sahajiyaik. So there are people who are, as Prabhupada writes, they are having, they talk and act as if they are in Gopi Bhav, but then there is so much male-female attraction over there. That is a travesty. It's actually a great atrocity against the exalted principles of devotion which Rupa Goswami is talking about over here. So Prabhupada is very cautious, and he put, even Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur put Raga Marga. He says this is worth puja for us, it's to be worshipped by us. It's a very exalted position. Although it's not the position of prema, still it's an exalted position, and we should respect it and put it in a position of reverence. And by that we can gradually take it up. Gradually, as we become spiritually advanced, we will develop that raga bhakti. So now, coming to the point that raga anuga is also a part of sadhana bhakti. So just as in Ragatmika, there was Sambandha Rupa and there was Kama Rupa. So like that, here also there is Sambandha Rupa and Kama Rupa. So we will go to that. But before that, let's look at some of the concepts about Raganuga Bhakti, which we are going to talk about over here. So here Prabhupada talks about Siddha Pranali. So Siddha Pranali, what it is and how it is mistaken. They imagine that they have become associates of the Lord simply by thinking of themselves like that. This external behavior is not at all according to the regulative principles. So now Srila Prabhupada in these sentences has concentrated a depth of meaning. And to unpack this, let's look at the Sanskrit verses of the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. So before that, Srila Prabhupada mentions no necessity of discussing further. He says that in the stage of devotional service where regulative principles are followed, there is no necessity of discussing this law, for it must develop itself at a more advanced stage. What does it mean? That one should not prematurely trespass into the realm of Ragatmika Bhakti. Why? Because here the goal is not to talk about Ragatmika. We are not trying to talk about Yashodamai's love for Krishna. We are talking about how a Raganuga Bhakta, a devotee who is modeling one's love on Yashodamai's love, how that person will be able to practice. It's not, Prabhupada is not banning the discussion of Raganuga Bhakti. He is talking about the not necessity of talking about Ragatmika Bhakti right now. So now, let's look at what is the qualification for practicing spontaneous devotional service. So here, actually, now what has been talked about here in the Bhaktisam Sindhu is also derived from Chaitanya Charitamrita, because there is a conversation of Rupa Goswami with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu over there. So let's look at this verse. Tattad bhavadi madhurye shrute dhirye dapekshate natra shastram na yuktim cha tal labho patti lakshanam. So tattad bhavadi madhurye. So tattad bhavadi means according to one's bhava, that is the five rasas are there. So tattad bhavadi shrute dhirye dapekshate. Shrute, when one hears about it, then dhiryadapekshate means one's intelligence becomes attracted. His intelligence becomes attracted. And then natra shastram na yuktim cha. Natra shastram, though one does not depend on the instruction of shastra, na yukti. Yukti refers to logic and argument. So why should I practice bhakti? One doesn't need logical arguments, nor does one need scriptural statements. Then what does one need? Tar lobhotpatti lakshanam. Lobhotpatti. When that lobha is there, when one starts coveting a particular type of devotion, that is Raganuga Bhakti. So let's look at this once again. So tattat bhavadi madhurye shrute dhirya dapekshate. So there are many pastimes of the Lord, and when we hear different pastimes, actually we may hear, say, Yashoda Mai tying Krishna in Damodar Leela. We feel very attracted to it. So, tattad bhavadi madhurye. So, like that madhurye, there are various bhavas. And then when one hears about it, shrute dhirya diksha pekshate. So, shrute dhir, the heart, the intelligence becomes attracted. So, your devotee becomes attracted. Okay, I want to serve in the mood of Yashoda Mai. Then, why do I want to serve? Because there is attraction. When there is attraction, just even in this material world also, when there is what people call as love, it is actually only a shadow of love, it's largely lust. But people can't listen to logic over there. The force of love, you know, doesn't need any push from logic. Once the force of love comes, so it is so fast that as compared to that, either the push of logic or the stop of logic, neither work. One doesn't need to be pushed in that direction by logic, nor does one can be stopped. And that one just moves forward. So it's a far higher force. So this is just a shadow, and the original is in the relationship with Krishna. So when that lobha utpatti, when that is awakened, and one doesn't natra shastram cha yuktim cha, na yuktim cha, one doesn't need logic nor scripture. Now, one doesn't need scripture doesn't mean that one doesn't care for scripture. They're two different things. One doesn't have to one doesn't have to depend on scripture for getting the impetus for practicing bhakti. One's heart is attracted, and that's why one starts practicing bhakti. So one will still follow the scripture rules and regulations. We'll discuss that later. But at this stage, when the attraction for Krishna is awakened, and that makes one practice bhakti, that is sadhan, that is raga anuga bhakti. So Prabhupada writes over here, so these Raganuga devotees do not follow the regulated principles of service very strictly, but by spontaneous nature they become attracted to some of the eternal devotees such as Nanda or Yashoda, and they try to follow in their footsteps spontaneously. So now when we say that they do not follow the regulated principles, that means, doesn't mean that they do not follow, means they neglect. No, they follow, but their impetus for following is not the scriptural warning or the scripture statement, it is their attraction. So they chant. So for example, we have sadhana bhakti where we chant 16 rounds. Now why do we chant? Because our spiritual master has told us and we have taken a vow. But when our devotee has got taste, has come to raganuga level, then that remembrance of Krishna and the desire to remember Krishna are so spontaneous that one does it because one is attracted to it, not because one is told by scripture to do it. Now what is the qualification for this? So let's look at the to understand the practice of spontaneous devotional service. We discuss about the qualification is that one has to have pure spontaneous love and no other attraction to material things. So let's look at the practice of Raganuga Bhakti. This is 1-294. So 2 refers to the second wave. 294th verse. This is Krishnam Smaram Janam Chasya Prishtam Nijisamhitam Tat Tat Katharathas Chasam Kuryadvasam Raje Sada. So Krishnam Smaram Janam Chasya. So Krishnam Smaram. So till now we have always talked about Yena Kena Prakaran Mana Krishna Nivesha. Someone remember Krishna. So here there is remembrance of Krishna, but there is some special remembrance. Janam Chasya Preshtam Nijasamhitam. Janam means a devotee, a Krishna Jana, a devotee of Krishna who is Preshtam. Preshtam means very dear. Nijasamhitam. According to our attraction, whichever rasa, whichever devotee we are attracted to, that devotee, tat-tat katha rathas chasau. Tat-tat katha means the katha of the pastimes of that devotee and that devotee's relationship with Krishna, that devotee's service to Krishna, rathas. One becomes absorbed in that. Ratha means absorbed. Kuryad vasam vraje sada. While doing this, one should always reside in Vraja, in Vrindavan. Kuryad vasam vraje sada. So there are many stages for us. You know, we develop a habit of hearing about Krishna. And initially, some pastimes may attract us, some pastimes may not attract us. And it may happen that some devotees may hear about, some devotees have been born and brought up in a culture where they were hearing Ramlila earlier. So they may think, whenever I hear Ramayana, I feel very attracted to Ramayana. So maybe my Swarupa is in Ayodhya, it's not in Vrindavan. Now we shouldn't assume such things. It's possible, but it's by no means necessary. In the initial stages, our attraction may simply be cultural, it may not be spiritual. Cultural means, just like sometimes some children, sometimes some people, they go back to some village where they had lived in the childhood, or they had visited some relatives in childhood, stayed for a few months over there in vacations, and after many years they go back. And there's a feeling of nostalgia. Oh, this was so nice, I was here, I remember I've been here, I was playing over here, we had gone here. So that nostalgia has got nothing spiritual. So something similar may happen, because we are in the childhood, we have heard something about Lord Ram, and now we hear about it again. So we think, Lord Ram's pastimes are so sweet, I want to hear about them more and more. Now that doesn't mean that our Swarupa is necessary with Lord Ram. This is simply cultural attraction, it's not necessarily spiritual attraction. Based on our childhood culture, again that attraction is surfacing. So only when we are purified of our material conditionings, and actually even for Shantaras, the qualification is complete detachment from matter and complete detachment to Krishna. That can come only after Anartha Nivritti. So then we'll start getting attracted. So when we hear Krishna's pastimes, at that time, this particular associate, you know, the charms of my heart. And then we want to hear more and more about that associate. Learn more and more about how that devotee serves Krishna. And when we learn that and absorb ourselves in service to Krishna in that mood of that devotee, and then what happens? That's the time, that's how Raga Bhakti starts. So first stage is that we hear about a particular devotee's pastimes with Krishna, that particular devotee's service to Krishna, that particular devotee's relationship with Krishna. So after this starts happening, then let's see what happens in the next stage. So Prabhupada translated this Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he explains this. Now Kuryadvasam Rajesada. So you know, we discussed how Srila Prabhupada often integrates the purport in the translation. So one should live in Vrindavan, and then he says, however, if one is physically unable to go to Vrindavan, he should mentally live there. Mentally live there. So actually, mental presence in Vrindavan is far more important than physical presence. Physical presence is also wonderful, but even more essential is mental presence. Our heart should be attracted to Krishna, our thoughts should be focused on Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan. And that is possible everywhere. It is possible outside Vrindavan also, if we have developed a small bond of attraction, a strong bond of attraction towards Krishna and towards Krishna in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada established branches of Krishna Conscious Movement all over the world, and sometimes some devotees wanted to say that, no, we just want to go and live in Vrindavan. So when devotees were living in Vrindavan, they thought, okay, we can just chant Radhe Radhe, Sham Sham, and we can wander around in Vrindavan dancing in ecstasy. But Prabhupada told them, construct temples. So get purchase cement and make plans for architecture. They thought, what is this? We came here to practice bhakti. What are we doing? Prabhupada said, this is how you will make spiritual advancement. The essence of bhakti is not doing what we get enjoyment in doing. The essence of bhakti is giving enjoyment to Krishna. And to have a beautiful temple of Krishna in Vrindavan will give a lot of enjoyment to Krishna. And that's how we will get real spiritual enjoyment. So the point is, we cannot prematurely jump to advanced. Certainly, we would like to be absorbed, even maddened in the remembrance of Krishna, but that is not artificial. That comes once we have come to advanced stage. So wherever we are, we render service to Krishna with the internal remembrance of Krishna and Vrindavan. Gradually, this absorption will come, and then attraction to a particular associate will come. And then we will start hearing more and more about that associate. And then after that, what happens? The next verse. So this is BRS 1-2-295. Seva sadhak rupena siddha rupena chatrahi tadbhava lipsuna karya rajalokanu sarataha tadbhava. So seva sadhak rupena. So there is sadhak rupa and siddha rupa. Let us see what refers to tadbhava lipsuna karya rajalokanu sarataha. So sadhak rupa and siddha rupa. What does this refer to? It's something which is often misunderstood, and you have to understand it very carefully. See, now if you consider, there is Gaur Leela and there is Krishna Leela, and many of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, almost all the important associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are already present in Krishna Leela, and they are generally in Krishna Leela. For example, we have, say, Rupa Manjari. So she is an associate of Srimati Radharani, and she is present in Gaur Leela as Rupa Goswami. So in this particular verse, the meaning that Rupa Goswami is giving is that Siddha Rupena Sadhak Rupena. So Siddha Rupa of that devotee is Radharani, Rupa Manjari, and the Sadhak Rupa is Rupa Goswami. So when we are meditating on that particular exalted associate of the Lord, so the idea is, Rupa Goswami is telling that we meditate on both the Sadhak Rupa and Siddha Rupa. So when we are doing when we are actually acting over here, then just as those associates exist in both realms, Rupa Manjari is there in Golok Vrindavan, and Rupa Goswami is there in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and both of them are there. So we meditate. Internally, we can try to cultivate the mood of Srimati of, say, Rupa Manjari. And while cultivating the mood of Rupa Manjari, we can meditate on how Rupa Manjari. Manjaris are the special associates, they have special associates in Krishna's pastimes. There are gopis and there are manjaris. So gopis, actually, they are of the conjugal age. They are at the age of puberty, and they unite with Krishna. And in that union, there is the greatest ecstasy. The Manjuris are slightly younger. And the Manjuris actually, they don't directly unite with Krishna. They assist the gopis. And when they assist the gopis, and when the gopis and Krishna are performing pastime and they are uniting, at that time the Manjuris observe. And actually, because they have the selfless mood to serve, therefore, they, just by observing the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, they get great ecstasy. In fact, according to some acharyas, they get greater ecstasy in observing the union than in participating in the union. Why? Because participating in the union, they are on one side. They are okay, the gopis, they are uniting with Krishna. But when they are observing, they can see Krishna's ecstasy, they can see the gopis' ecstasy, and they can get immense ecstasy by that. Of course, these are very exalted subjects, and we cannot prematurely rush into it. But the point is, the Manjuris, they are younger, and they have this special role in Krishna's pastimes. So, now Rupa Manjari has a particular service in the spiritual world. So, Seva Sadhak Rupena Siddha Rupena Chatra. So, Siddha Rupa means, if a devotee is attracted to Rupa Manjari, then the devotee will meditate on Rupa Manjari internally and contemplate how Rupa Manjari serves Krishna. And at the same time, the devotee externally will see how Rupa Goswami is serving. Because Rupa Goswami is acting as a sadhaka. No, he's a Paramahamsa Nitya Siddha, we could say all those epithets for the great soul, and they are true. But the way Rupa Goswami is living, he is living not as a Siddha, he's living as a sadhaka. That's why Goswami performs such austerities. They would live under different trees and they would eat meager food and chant and follow the rules of bhakti with such immense rigidity. And Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Tibhi, Sankhya Purvaka Namagana, and very meticulously keeping a track of the numbers, they would chant the holy names. So they basically, the Goswamis demonstrate sadhaka life. Of course, their sadhana standards are very high, they're mind-bogglingly high for most of us, but still, the point is they are representing sadhaka life. So you remember, now we are discussing sadhaka, but what kind of sadhaka? In sadhana bhakti, there is vaidhi bhakti and there is raganuga bhakti. So we are talking about raganuga bhakti over here. So Radha Krishna, so prema sammohitau. So they would sometimes become unmatta, they would become sammohitau. Guna smriter madhurmanandena sammohitau. So when they would remember the qualities of Radha and Krishna, guna smriter, then madhurima nandena, madhurima, the sweetness of those qualities and the corresponding pastimes, anandena sammohitau, they become completely overwhelmed by that. And when they become overwhelmed by that, then that becoming overwhelmed enables them to, that completely transports them to a different realm. So we can, this is the service, devotional service, which the Goswamis performed, is described in Shad Goswami Ashtakam by Srinivasa Acharya. So one can meditate on that. When Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas to Rudayan Maharaj, Rudayan Maharaj asked him, how can I know how I should practice sannyas? So Prabhupada told him, study the Goswami Ashtakam very carefully, Shad Goswami Ashtakam. There you will understand the mood of a sannyasi. So the point is, we can sadhak rupena. So the devotee should internally contemplate the service of the gopis of say Rupa Manjari, and externally contemplate the service of Rupa Goswami, and externally act accordingly, strictly, determinedly practicing devotional service in the mood of a sadhaka. And in this way, one should render service. Now, in Siddha Pranali, there is a confusion that happens. So, Vraja Lok Anusarataha. So in this way, one should follow in the footsteps of the Vraja Lok. Vraja Lok means those who are in Vrindavan, we should follow in their footsteps. So now there is Siddha Pranali. What is the Siddha Pranali? Actually, the word Siddha Pranali has a very simple meaning. Siddha is liberated souls. Pranali is the sequence or the list. Siddha Pranali means that the list of the liberated souls. Of course, the word can have many meanings. So there have been many liberated souls, and our parampara itself is a sequence of liberated souls. But in the Siddha Pranali Mantra, what they do is those who misinterpret this, they have two misconceptions. First is Vrajlok Anusarataha means, okay, we have to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajlok. But they assume that the Vrajlok refers only to the Vrajavasis. And they do not accept the fact that the Vrajavasis also, that the Siddhas who are there in Vrindavan Leela, they also have a Sadhaka Roop in Gaur Leela. They don't accept that point, or they don't consider that point relevant to the understanding of this verse. And they say that actually when we have to do Vrajlok Anusarataha, that means in Siddha Roopa and in Sadhak Roopa, both we have to do Vrajlok Anusarataha. That means we have to act according to or imitate the actions of the Vrajavasis in both internal as well as external moods and actions. So because of this, what happens is there may be men, and those men can think that, okay, I am a gopi in the spiritual world. So internally they try to cultivate the mood of a gopi, and externally they will wear a dress like a gopi. Now they will dress like a female with sari and bangles and nose rings, and they're males. You know, this is quite very artificial. This is not at all what Rupa Goswami is telling over here. So one is not meant to imitate externally. Why there's no need to imitate externally? Because actually the body has got nothing to do with the soul. The body is just something which we have got by our past karma, and just so the soul is different. What has to be done is the soul's original nature has to be brought out. So by changing what is around the soul, there is a body. You know, around putting some further covering on the body is not going to revive the nature of the soul. It's artificial. This is not what is recommended. So there is Gopi Bhav and there is Gopi Rupa. So what is important is that we cultivate the Gopi Bhav. And the Gopi Bhav cultivation is also what? Actually the mood of service. Service, selfless service to Krishna and to Krishna's devotees. And when we cultivate that, then as we become purified and become liberated, then the Gopi Rupa will manifest. So the Siddha Pranali, those who misinterpret it, they say that as you take on the Gopi Rupa by wearing those dress and ornaments and cosmetics and things like that. And it is complete misunderstanding. Our acharyas have never supported this idea of imitating physically the dress and the garments, ornaments and the behavior of the gopis externally. No, internally it is to be done. And externally we continue participating in Vrindavan Leela as we continue participating in our service to our spiritual master according to the way the great Siddhas are doing in the Sadhak Rupa. Siddhas are doing in the Sadhak Rupa means the way Rupa Goswami is doing in his service to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the misinterpretation which has to be corrected. Siddha Pranali, the way it is commonly misinterpreted, is not supported by Shastra. It is based on a wrong understanding of Shastra. Now let's look at the progression. First verse is talking about, okay, hear about a particular associate. Second is, okay, start serving in the mood of that associate. Internally, in the way that associate is a Siddha, and externally, the way that associate is a Sadhaka. Serve in this way. And then what will happen? That's described in the next verse. So Prabhupada writes that about these things. How do we act externally? A devotee who is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, who is constantly engaged in devotional service, should not manifest himself even though he has attained perfection. The idea is that he should always continue to act as a neophyte devotee as long as the material body is there. Activities in devotional service under regulated principles must be followed even by the pure devotee. That means what? The Raganuga, somebody the Raganuga Bhakta. It's not that he should put a label on the forehead. Raganuga Bhakta, offer Dandavat. No, not like that. One should act as a neophyte devotee. Neophyte devotee doesn't mean that one keeps succumbing to the anarthas. Neophyte devotee, when Prabhupada is using the word, he means that we should follow the rules and regulations strictly as we were following in the neophyte stage. That means in that when as one is participating, practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, one follows when one is also in Sadhana Bhakti. And then after that, now let's look at the third verse. So this is 1-2-296. Shravanat Kirtanadini Vaidhi Bhakti Uditani Tu Yanyangani Chatanyatra Vigyayani Manishibhi. So, Vigyayani Manishibhi. Manishibhi means those who are knowers, learned Acharya, others translate Vigyayani. They know what? That the 60 Vaidhi Bhakti Uditani Tu. Whatever are the limbs of Vaidhi Bhakti, like what are the limbs? Like Shravanat Kirtanadini. So, like Shravan and Kirtan, these limbs of Bhakti. Yanya Angani Tanyatra. So these Angas are also useful in Raganuga Bhakti. What does it mean? When one starts coming to the Raganuga level, it's not that suddenly the devotee starts doing something new. No, the devotee will continue hearing and chanting the way Vaidhisa Bhakta is hearing and chanting. But while doing this, the devotee will do something special also. What is that? The devotee's hearing and chanting will be focused on something specific. What is that? That specific focus will be the particular devotee who is the Ragatmika devotee on whose model the devotee is trying to become practice Raganuga Bhakti. So if somebody is attracted to Yashodamai, then one will want to hear more and more about the pastimes of Yashodamai. And in this way, one doesn't give up the Sadhana Bhakti, Vaidhi Bhakti limbs, but those Vaidhi Bhakti limbs become focused, concentrated on particular actions. On particular associates and their particular actions. And in this way, the Raganuga Bhakti is not necessarily different in form from Vaidhi Bhakti, it is different in focus. In Vaidhi Bhakti, we do general hearing, in Raganuga Bhakti, we do focused hearing. And in this way, Raganuga Bhakti is to practice. So the first verse talks about hear about that associate. Second is that, okay, serve externally and internally in the mood of that associate. And third verse talks about continue the activities of Vaidhi Bhakti also, but do them with a focus on that particular associate. In this way, Raganuga Bhakti is to be practiced. And once one practices Raganuga Bhakti in this way, then one starts, this is also sadhana. And by the sadhana bhakti, gradually one will come to bhava. So Prabhupada writes that, how Prabhupada phrases this, learned acharyas recommend that we follow the regulated principles even after development of spontaneous love for Krishna. This means regulated principles means hearing and chanting. But what is the speciality then? One should specifically engage himself in the type of devotional service for which he has a natural aptitude. So the difference is not in form, the difference is in focus. In this way, everyone should act according to his individual taste. So now we come to Kama Anuga and Sambandha Anuga. So earlier we discussed about how in Raganuga Bhakti, in Ragatmika Bhakti, there was Sambandha Rupa and there was Kama Rupa. So corresponding to Sambandha Rupa, there is Sambandha Anuga, and corresponding to Kama Rupa, there is Kama Anuga. What does this mean? This means that those devotees who are in those eternal associates who are Kama Rupa, those who are attracted to Krishna in the Madhurya Rasa, in the conjugal rasa, then for them, if they are a Ragatmika Bhakta model, then our Bhakti will be Kama Anuga. In Raganuga, it will be Kama Anuga. So now further it is explained that in this Kama Anuga, there are two ways. Because the devotion of the pure devotees in the Madhurya Rasa is itself in two forms. There is Swakiya and there is Parakiya. Swakiya means one's own. Parakiya means someone else's. Para itself means someone else's. So Swakiya is the queens in Vrindavan, the queens in Dwarka, they are Krishna's wedded queens. They're Krishna's own. And their relationship is in Swakiya Bhav. And the relationship of Krishna with the gopis of Vrindavan is in Parakiya Bhav. Parakiya Bhav means it is out of wedlock. And out of wedlock, it is actually considered to be a purer, greater love. Why is it greater? Not because it is in this world, if a man and a woman have a relationship outside of marriage, that's considered immoral. But with respect to Krishna and gopis, it's not considered immoral. Actually, it's transmoral. So there are three levels. Immoral means below morality. Then there is morality. But that which is far above morality, that is transmoral. The gopis' relationship with Krishna are transmoral. Therefore, they are transcendental, and there is a transcendental morality involved in that. So what is the speciality? Actually, you know, when we talk about devotion, purity of devotion is that not only is one ready to give up the bad for Krishna's sake, but one is also ready to give up the good for Krishna's sake. So give up the bad means we give up sinful activities for Krishna's sake. But give up the good means that you have to give up punya also. So for a woman, chastity, faithfulness to her husband is considered to be a very great virtue. But for the sake of Krishna, one should be ready to give up one's chastity also. And that is the supreme sacrifice of the gopis. So there is in that unwed love, or love out, not just unwed love, love outside wedlock. That means there is wedding somewhere else, but it's outside love. There is a special excitement, a special adventure. You know, there is, how it is, see, if an elephant has a lot of strength, but the elephant doesn't realize its strength. So the elephant is in rut and is attracted to the elephant of the opposite gender. Say the male is attracted to female, and the male wants to run towards the female. Now, if there are no obstacles, the male will just run like that. But if the male is tied by strong ropes, then the male pulls and pulls and pulls. And when it is in the rut, it wants to run towards the female, and then it is in pulling. So what happens is, the elephant has strength, but it doesn't realize its strength. So when the rope's tying it, then there is internal realization and external expression of that strength. So the elephant itself doesn't know how strong it is. But when it is impelled by the desire to go towards the female, and then it pulls and pulls, and then, oh, I can bring down this. If the rope was tied to a tree, I can bring down this tree. So there's internal realization, and along with that, there is what? People may not know how strong the elephant is, but then when the elephant pulls and the trees start toppling over, oh, it's so strong. There is external expression. So people, it is expressed for the world to see, and it is realized for oneself to know also. So like that, the elephant is compared to the knots of worldly relationships. So the gopis are married to someone else, and that restricts them. When Krishna is playing the flute and he's calling all of them, then the gopis cannot go. Pati sutanvaya bhratru bandhavan ati vilangyate antyachyutagataha gati vidastava udgita mohitaha kitab yoshitas kastya jenishi. In the Gopi Gita, they are praying, gopis, that we have left all our associates, our relatives, pati sutanvaya bhratru bandhavan. We have left all our associates, our relatives rather, and we have come for your sake, Krishna. So actually it is not easy. So there was opposition, but the gopis overcome that opposition and come. And in that way, there is internal realization, external expression of the intensity of their love. So it is not immoral, because ultimately, you know, the gopis, the wives do not belong to the husband. Husbands don't belong to the wives. The wives and husbands all belong to Krishna ultimately. So what is Krishna's? Krishna is calling and taking. There's nothing immoral in it. Now when Krishna calls the gopis, it is parakya ras. It is considered more exalted, because there is sacrifice even of the good for the sake of Krishna. So some devotees may be attracted to Krishna, that ragatmika may be in the parakya bhav, and for some it may be in the swakya bhav. But both are possible. And both, that, so ragatmika model is in swakya, then the raga anuga, who will be in raga anuga, there is kama anuga. That kama anuga will be in swakya. And if the ragatmika is in parakya, then the kama anuga will also be in parakya. That means, if you're getting confused, ragatmika means the perfection of spontaneous love. Raga anuga is the practice of spontaneous love. So if the perfection of spontaneous love is parakya, say it's a gopi in Vrindavan, then the practice of spontaneous love will also be similar. It will also be in parakya bhava. By that, actually one moves forward and advances in the path of devotion. Now, let's look at this further. ಸೊ ನಾವು ಇನ್ ದ ರಾಗಾನುಗ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ಸಂಬಂಧ ರೂಪ. ಸಂಬಂಧ ರೂಪ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ರಾದರ್ ಟು ರಸಾಸ್, ವಾತ್ಸಲ್ಯ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸಾಖ್ಯ, ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ಶಿಪ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಟ್ಯಾಲೆಂಟ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕಾಮಾನುಗ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಂಜುಗಲ್ ಲವ್, ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯ. ನಾ ಕಾಮಾನುಗ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟೂ ಟೈಪ್ಸ್. ಟಿಲ್ ನಾವ್ ವಿ ಟಾಕ್ಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಸ್ವಕೀಯ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪರಕೀಯ, ಬಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸ್ವಕೀಯ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪರಕೀಯ, ಇಸ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಂಭೋಗಿಚ್ಛಾಮಯಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ತತ್ತದ್ ಭಾವ ಇಚ್ಛಾತ್ಮಿಕ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಟ್ ಮೂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಹೀರೋಯಿನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮೂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಹೀರೋಯಿನ್ಸ್ ಮೇಡ್. ವಾಟ್ ಡಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೀನ್? ಸಂಭೋಗಿಚ್ಛಾಮಯಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ರೆಂಡರ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮೂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ವಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಯುನೈಟ್ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ವಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಯುನೈಟ್ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಮೂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಗೋಪಿ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ತತ್ತದ್ ಭಾವಿಚ್ಛಾತ್ಮಿಕ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಡಸ್ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಯುನೈಟ್ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ದಟ್ ರಾದರ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರಿಂಗ್ ಅನ್ಸಲ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಅ ಗೋಪಿ. ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿವೋಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರಿಂಗ್ ಅನ್ಸಲ್ ಟು ಬಿ ದ ಮೇಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗೋಪಿ, ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೇಡ್ ಸರ್ವೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗೋಪಿ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಒನ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ದ ಗೋಪಿ ಟು ಯುನೈಟ್ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಇನ್ ಅಬ್ಸರ್ವಿಂಗ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ರಿಲಿಷಿಯಸ್ ದಟ್. ಸೊ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ವೆರಿ ಎಕ್ಸಾಲ್ಟೆಡ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ವೆರಿ ಪ್ಯೂರ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಬೋತ್ ಆಫ್ ದೆಮ್ ಆರ್ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟಸಿ, ವೆರಿ ಎಕ್ಸಾಲ್ಟೆಡ್. ಬಟ್ ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಟೂ ವೆರೈಟೀಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಟೆಡ್. ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ದಟ್ ಒನ್ ಯುನೈಟಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಹೈಯರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅಬ್ಸರ್ವಿಂಗ್ ದ ಯೂನಿಯನ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಮ್ಮನ್ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಲೋವರ್. ನೋ, ಬೋತ್ ಆರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಲ್ಟೆಡ್. ಸೊ ವಿಚ್ ಎವರ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಒನ್ಸ್ ನ್ಯಾಚುರಲ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಷನ್, ದಟ್ ನ್ಯಾಚುರಲ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಷನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಅವೇಕನ್ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ಡ್ಯೂ ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಟೈಮ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವೇ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ದ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ರೆಂಡ್ರಿಂಗ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ವಿತ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಎಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಗಾತ್ಮಿಕ ಮಾಡೆಲ್. ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಕಮ್ ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಜುವಲಿ. ನಾವು ಇಫ್ ಯು ಲುಕ್ ಆಟ್ ಇಟ್, ಲೆಟ್ಸ್ ಗೋ ಲುಕ್ ಆಟ್ ದಿ ಸಂಬಂಧಾನುಗ. ಸಂಬಂಧಾನುಗ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದೋಸ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮೂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ಯಾರೆಂಟ್ಹುಡ್ ಆರ್ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ಶಿಪ್. ಸೊ ನಾವು ಹಿಯರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದೀಸ್ ಟು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ದೇರ್ಸ್, ಹಿಯರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದೀಸ್ ಟು ಕ್ಯಾಟಗರೀಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ದೇರ್. ಈದರ್ ಒನ್ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಅಪ್ ದಟ್ ರೋಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಪ್ಯಾರೆಂಟ್, ಆರ್ ಒನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಅಪ್ ದ ರೋಲ್ ಆಫ್ ವಾಚಿಂಗ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಫ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಅನ್ ಅಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಪ್ಯಾರೆಂಟ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ನಾವು ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಡೇಂಜರ್ ನಾವು ವಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಯಶೋದಾಮಾಯಿ ಆರ್ ವಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಸಾರಿ ವಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಬಿ ನಂದ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್, ಇಸ್ ಡೇಂಜರಸ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಡೇಂಜರ್ ಇನ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್? ಓಕೆ, ಬಿಫೋರ್ ವಿ ಗೋ ದೇರ್, ಶಿಲಾ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಎಲಿಜಿಬಿಲಿಟಿ ಇನ್ ಮೇಲ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್. ಸೊ ನಾವು ವೆನ್ ಒನ್ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಎಲಿಜಿಬಿಲಿ, ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಯೂಸ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ರೂಪ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಯೂಸ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದಂಡಕಾರಣ್ಯ ಸೇಜಸ್. ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಮೇ ಥಿಂಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಒನ್ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಕಾಮಾನುಗ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಷನ್. ಕಾಮಾನುಗ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಷನ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಷನ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇನ್ ದ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯ ಭಾವ, ಮೇಲ್ ಫಿಮೇಲ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಷನ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಮೇಲ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಈಸ್ ಫಿಮೇಲ್. ಸೊ ಇಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಯೂಸ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ಮೇಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ? ಯೆಸ್, ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಡೆಫಿನೆಟ್ಲಿ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದಂಡಕಾರಣ್ಯ ಸೇಜಸ್, ವೆನ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ರಾಮ್ ವಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ದಂಡಕಾರಣ್ಯ, ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ವನ್ವಾಸ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸಸ್. ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಫ್ಯೂ ಇಯರ್ಸ್ ಇವನ್ ಚಿತ್ರಕೂಟ್, ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಕೇಮ್ ಟು ದಂಡಕಾರಣ್ಯ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ವಾಸ್ ದಂಡಕಾರಣ್ಯ ಇಸ್ ಮಹಾರಾಷ್ಟ್ರ, ಚಿತ್ರಕೂಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ನಾರ್ತ್ ಇಂಡಿಯಾ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ಕೇಮ್ ಟು ದಂಡಕಾರಣ್ಯ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ದೇರ್, ಅಟ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ದ ಸೇಜಸ್ ವೆರ್ ದೇರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಸೇಜಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಸಾ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇ ಸಾ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಸೀತಾದೇವಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಂಟಿಮೇಟ್ ಲವ್ ದಟ್ ದಿ ಶೇರ್ ವಿತ್ ಈಚ್ ಅದರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ದೇರ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದಿ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಷನ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅವೇಕನ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಸರ್ವ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ ವೇ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಟೋಲ್ಡ್ ಇಮ್ ದಟ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಮರ್ಯಾದಾ ಪುರುಷೋತ್ತಮ್ ನೌ, ಬಟ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ಫ್ಯೂಚರ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ ವೆನ್ ಐ ಕಮ್ ದೆನ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ಯು. ಸೊ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಗೋಪೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ದೇ ವೇರ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಗೋಪೀಸ್. ಸೊ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಋಷಿಚರ್ಯ ಗೋಪೀಸ್. ಋಷಿಚರ್ಯ ಗೋಪೀಸ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದೀಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಋಷೀಸ್ ಇನ್ ಪ್ರಿವಿಯಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ಸ್. ದೋಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಋಷೀಸ್ ಇನ್ ಪ್ರಿವಿಯಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಕಮ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇ ಬಿಕಮ್ ದ ಗೋಪೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ದೇ ಗೋಪಿ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗೋಪೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ನಾಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಗೋಪೀಸ್. ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗೋಪೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆರ್ ಇಟರ್ನಲ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸೆಂಡೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹಿಮ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ದ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಇಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಅವರ್ ಫಿಸಿಕಲ್ ಜೆಂಡರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಾಟ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಡೂ ವಿತ್ ಅವರ್ ಇಟರ್ನಲ್ ಸ್ವರೂಪ. ಸಂಬಡಿ ಮೇ ಬಿ ಇನ್ ಅ ಮೇಲ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ರೈಟ್ ನೌ, ಬಟ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ದೇ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದಟ್ ಕಾಮಾನುಗ ಆಸ್ಪಿರೇಷನ್ ಆಸ್ ದೀಸ್ ಸೇಜಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಂಡಕಾರಣ್ಯ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅಟ್ ಅಪ್ರೋಪ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ಮೇಕ್ ದ ಅರೇಂಜ್ಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಫುಲ್ಫಿಲ್ ದಟ್ ಆಸ್ಪಿರೇಷನ್. ಸೊ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿಸ್, ದೆನ್ ದಟ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ ಮೂವ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ದಿ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್, ಆರ್ ಅದರ್ ನೌ ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಟು ಅದರ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಅಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಕಾಮಾನುಗ ಸಂಬಂಧಾನುಗ. ಅಂದರೆ ಸಂಬಂಧಾನುಗ So he talks about sambandhanuga, also of two categories, being the parent or being the assistant of the parent. Now being the parent is dangerous because one wants to, in one sense, displace or replace Nanda Maharaj or Yashodamai. One thinks, I'll be Nanda Maharaj, I'll be Yashodamai. That is actually almost like Mayavad. No, because we want to take up a position of Krishna or take up a position, replace an eternal associate of Krishna. That is not an aspiration that is considered proper. It is not considered devotional. It's not a very good aspiration. So what devotees aspire in this mood primarily to become associates or become assistants of Krishna's parents. And in that way, they can also attain perfection. So if somebody has this raganuga mood, then that will also be used. And then Prabhupada, for this sambandhanuga sadhana bhakti, Srila Prabhupada is telling over here in Nanodi, he's quoting from Prabhupada Goswami's BRS. In Skanda Puran, there is a story of an old man residing in Hastinapur, capital of the kingdom of the Pandus, who desired Krishna as his beloved son. This old man was instructed by Narada to follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj, and thus he achieved success. So he was told what? To follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj. So this, what is this referring to? This is referring to Raganuga Bhakti, but Raganuga not in the Kamanuga mood, it is in the Sambandhanuga mood. And in that way, one can move forward and attain perfection. Now, if we look at the time when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and then he gave the instructions to Rupa Goswami, so at that time, there was also the Pushti Marga that developed. And in the Pushti Marga, they also have very similar concepts. So this Raga Marga, that is the Marga, path of spontaneous devotion, that is also called as Pushti Marga by some people. So Prabhupada refers to that. And earlier, Vaidhi Bhakti is called as the Maryada Marga. Maryada means limitation. So because one does not yet have attraction to Krishna, so one is limited, circumscribed by scriptural injunction, and one acts accordingly. So this is how the Raganuga Bhakti is practiced. And by this practice of Raganuga Bhakti, either in Sambandha Rupa or Kama Rupa, one can, or Sambandhanuga or Kama Anuga, one can move forward and attain the Bhava and Prema. So how do we come to this? We may see, we ISKCON devotees, what about us? Are we practicing Raganuga Bhakti? Srila Prabhupada explained to us that if we keep practicing our devotional service sincerely, according to our level, chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulative principles, the advanced stages of devotion will manifest. And more important than advanced stages of devotion manifesting is that we will, by Krishna's, Lord Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's and Srila Prabhupada's mercy, attain the ultimate perfection of life. How it specifically will happen, that may not be very easy for us to conceive with our brains, which are so much conditioned and contaminated by various faults, but it will happen primarily by mercy. But by understanding this profound analysis of how there are so many deep levels of bhakti and relishable technicalities in bhakti, we can appreciate the glory of the treasure that we have been given entry into. And we cherish that treasure at the level that we are at, and gradually will be promoted by Krishna's mercy to higher and higher levels till we attain the supreme perfection. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.